Thank you for joining us on A Journey of Faith, brought to you by Only Jesus For Me Ministries. It is our hope that through this spiritual journey of 10 sessions, you will be equipped to engage with some of life's toughest questions. While this session certainly has value in and of itself, we want to invite you to consider this session in context with the other 9 sessions in A Journey of Faith. We feel this will make your journey to discovery more complete. At OJM, we teach on the premise that truth discovered is truth retained. We also invite you to download the ebooks that correspond with these audiobooks and dive deeper into each subject on this journey. We also hope you will watch and listen to the e-sessions carefully and engage with the discussion questions that are suggested at the end of every session. By the way, we want you to feel free to express your own ideas that emerge as you listen, watch, and study with us. We welcome you to A Journey of Faith.
Session 7, Financial Wisdom. The Abiding Principles for this Session. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Proverbs 12:24. Work hard and become a leader. Be lazy and become a slave. 2 Corinthians 9:7. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Introduction to Session 7, Financial Wisdom. Probably some of the most foolish mistakes we make in life have to do with our personal finances, how we earn money, how we spend money, and how we invest money. Sometimes we don't show a whole lot of intelligence. That reminds me of a joke. 2 fellows were digging a very deep trench on a hot summer day, wiping sweat and covered in mud from head to toe. About that time, the boss drove up in his white air-conditioned pickup truck. He got out, dressed in a nice, clean uniform, walked over to the edge of the trench, and looked down on the men hard at work below. He hollered down to them, "You fellows look like you're doing a great job. If you need anything, I will be over there in the shade of that tree over yonder." After he left, one fellow said to the other, "Why are we down in this hole, digging a trench all muddy and sweaty, when our boss is driving around in an air-conditioned pickup truck most of the day, wearing that starched uniform? And besides, I understand he makes a whole lot more money than we do. I don't think that's fair." "Well, I don't know," responded the other. "But I agree. It ain't fair. I think I'll just climb up out of this here hole and I'll go over there and ask him." So he went over and asked the boss, "Why are we a-digging in the hot sun and you're over here a-standing in the shade?" "Intelligence," the boss said. "What do you mean, intelligence?" The boss replied, "Well, I'll show you. I'll put my hand on this tree, and I want you to hit it with your fist just as hard as you can." "Oh, I might hurt you, boss." "No, go ahead. I'm in charge around here." So the worker said, "If you say so," and took a mighty swing, trying to hit the boss's hand just as hard as he could. In just the nick of time, the boss removed his hand and the worker hit the tree, smashing his hand. As he whelped in pain, the boss said, "See there? That's intelligence." The worker shook off the pain and went back over to the trench, climbing back down to where his buddy waited. "So what did the boss say?" "He said we are down here a-working hard, and he is up there in the shade because of intelligence." "So what's this intelligence?" asked his buddy. The worker put his hand over his face and said, "Take your shovel rear back and hit my hand as hard as you can." From What is Intelligence? Aha Jokes. You might be surprised to learn that the Bible has a whole lot to say about your personal finances. Jesus often spoke on the subject, and the Bible is filled with practical wisdom for financial blessings, and it isn't all about giving. God wants your finances to be blessed so that you can bless God's work and others. Have I always been perfectly intelligent with my money? Certainly not, and I still make mistakes. It is a constant process of learning and growing in this critical area of our lives that reveals so much of our internal character. So, could I challenge you to try to lay aside your opinions about money and take time to really examine what the Bible has to say? This session could be life-changing, bringing freedom in your life from the stress of financial insecurity and also from the entrapment of an egocentric philosophy of financial appropriation. We are reading today from the Bible text, 1 Timothy 6, 6-12, 17-19. Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things, pursue righteousness and a godly life along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. Now, to discuss the Bible text. Jesus taught a totally different perspective from the world's viewpoint of financial management. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Matthew 6:19-21. Jesus emphasized that God views our finances, a vital part of our treasure or total resources, as an inanimate tool. Money is a necessary measure of exchange, but it is also a tool that enables us to accomplish God's program for our lives. Further, Jesus taught that we can discern our measure of commitment to the cause of Christ by our depth of investment in God's work. This investment is to be proportionate to the resources that have been entrusted to our care. This session will explain and present specific principles of biblical financial management in accordance with Jesus' teachings and those discussed in our text from Paul's letter to Timothy. Roman numeral 1. Finances should be obtained through work that is pleasing to God. Capital A. Work should be approached with a sense of thankfulness to God. It is God who gives us the ability to work and the opportunities to do so. Deuteronomy 8:17-18a. You should never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. Through these opportunities, we are enabled by God to meet our financial obligations and goals. 1 Timothy 5:8. But those who don't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. Capital B. Work should be carried out with respect for the company and those in management. we should be cooperative with the policies and procedures in the workplace. Ephesians 6:5-6. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. We should work as if we are working for Jesus. Ephesians 6:7. Work with enthusiasm, as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. We should respect the position of authority even when we do not feel we can respect the person in that position. 1 Peter 2:18. You who are slaves must accept the authority of your masters with all respect. Do what they tell you, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are cruel. In ancient days, slaves could not change jobs. Thankfully, we have the option of finding a new employer. Even so, as long as we are employed by a company, we should respect the chain of command. Capital C. We should work with resourcefulness. We should give each job 100%. Ecclesiastes 9:10a. Whatever you do, do well. All work is for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Capital D. We need to pay attention to the sacred rules and rhythms of life. Even God took a day off and rested as an example to us. We need to plan a day off each week to rest and worship. Proper rest and time with family are important to avoid burnout and overwork. It is better to have less and lead a balanced life than to live above your means at the expense of overwork and excessive time away from God and family. Roman numeral 2. Jesus taught us the proper attitude toward our finances. Capital A. Quality of life is not determined by the amount of stuff that we can accumulate. Luke 12:15. Then Jesus said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." The world's riches are fleeting. They do not satisfy. We need to work on being satisfied with the blessings God has given us. Capital B. It is more important to build the kingdom of God than to seek after the riches of this world. Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Money is an abusive master. When you are more interested in making money than making a living, you will find many problems in your life. It may lead to division and strife. It may bring spiritual poverty to your soul. Luke 12:21. Jesus speaking. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. It may cause anxiety and fear. Ecclesiastes 5:12. People who work hard sleep well, whether they eat little or much, but the rich seldom get a good night's sleep. It may lead to severe loneliness and great disappointment at the end of life. Ecclesiastes 5:16. And this too is a very serious problem. People leave this world no better off than when they came. All their hard work is for nothing, like working for the wind. We have been called to a greater purpose than pursuing riches. We have been called to serve God. We have been called to live a testimony of faithfulness to Christ Jesus. We have been called to further the kingdom of Christ on earth. Capital C. God is the owner. We are the managers. God gives the abilities and opportunities to work. Therefore, whatever we have has been given to us by God. Possessions and wealth should not make us proud, nor self-assured. Our confidence should always be in God. Even so, God delights in our enjoying the blessings that He has given us. Ecclesiastes 5:19. And it is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it, to enjoy your work and accept your lot in life. This is indeed a gift from God. God gives to us so that we might be a channel of blessing to others. 1 Timothy 6:18. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. Roman numeral 3. Wisdom from God's Word about personal financial management. Capital A. How we manage our money is a reflection of our relationship with God. We need to understand the responsibility of indebtedness. Proverbs 22:7. Just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. We have a spiritual obligation to pay our debts. Romans 13:8-10. Owe nothing to anyone, except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. Our word is to be our bond. We are to pay our debts on time, every time, when we are able to do so. When financial reversal comes, we are to treat our creditors the way that we would want to be treated. Luke 6:31. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. We should be careful about incurring indebtedness. Live on less than you earn by budgeting wisely and tracking expenses. Plan and save money for life's emergencies. Avoid borrowing money for items that depreciate faster than you can pay for them. Overcome emotional buying. Don't make important financial decisions without taking time to pray and think them over. As God's children, we should always protect the reputation of God's name. Capital B. We should invest our money in eternal pursuits. Luke 16:9. Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your earthly possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. We are to finance the work of God at the local church through regular and systematic giving. The local church is funded by the people who attend. Each of us is to participate in giving. 1 Corinthians 16:2a. On the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. God expects each of us to invest at least 10% of our weekly income in God's work through the general fund of our local church. Jesus emphasized tithing in his teachings. See Matthew 23:23. In the early church, believers gave 100% to the Lord through their local church. Acts 2:44-45. The New Testament instructs believers to give at least 10%, or as 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, a portion of the money we have earned is to be given in the collection on Sundays. We should be willing to give even above 10% as we are able to do so. Consider carefully the teaching of 2 Corinthians 9:6-10 when you have time to look that up in your Bible. God is more interested in what the percentage of our gift expresses about our heart and our love for Jesus than the actual amount of the gift itself. Read Mark 12:41-44. Once we have determined the percentage of our giving, we should give this money to God through our local church on a consistent basis. Our tithes fund the budget our church agrees on each and every year. The expenses are consistent, so the giving needs to be just as consistent. When church is closed for weather concerns, we should save our tithes and give when church reopens. Our motivation for giving is twofold. We are giving to be obedient to God's commands. We are also giving as an act of devotion and worship to God. 2 Corinthians 9:7b. God loves a person who gives cheerfully. After giving faithfully to our local church budget, we may want to give elsewhere and above this as the Holy Spirit leads us. Romans 15:27. They were glad to do this, take up a benevolence offering, because they feel they owe a real debt to them. Since the Gentiles received the spiritual blessings of the good news from the believers in Jerusalem, they feel the least they can do in return is to help them financially. If we are generous with God, God will be generous with us. We can never outgive the Lord. Luke 6:38. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. In conclusion, it is wise to carefully evaluate your financial situation in light of the biblical wisdom that we have studied. Ask yourself several questions. Am I earning money in a way that honors God? Are there any changes I need to make in my work? Am I spending money wisely and in keeping with a wise financial plan or budget? Am I doing what pleases God with the possessions and income that God has entrusted to me? Am I giving a fair and honest tithe to the Lord's work? If you are willing to give God first place in your finances, God has promised to bless you both financially and spiritually. Many folks feel strapped and pressured financially and therefore don't feel they can afford to give God first place in their finances. A wise financial counselor once told me that most people don't have a cash flow problem. They have a spending problem. It is easy to spend more than you make, especially if you are not on a consistent budget. Perhaps the best financial advice I ever received was to use an envelope system or cash system for the expenses that easily get out of hand. It is really simple, and it really works. Sit down with a piece of paper and divide it into three columns. See the example at the end of the conclusion in your ebook or book in print. Let me explain. In the first column, list all of your take-home net income. In the next column, list all of your monthly fixed, predictable expenses and total them at the bottom of the column. Then decide a reasonable monthly budget amount for each of the categories that fluctuate, such as groceries, miscellaneous supplies, out to eat, entertainment, and clothing. Write down these categories and their amounts in the last column and total them. You should have three working totals, one for net income, one for fixed expenses, and one for fluctuating expenses. Now, go back and add in a tithe to the Lord, 10% of your net income, at the top of your fixed expenses column. If you don't feel you can start with a full 10%, start with a lower percentage with a promise to God that you will reevaluate and increase your percentage every 3 months until you are faithfully giving God a full and honest tithe. Also, add in a targeted savings goal. Start somewhere. Even if you only plan to save $25 per month, at least it is a start. Get a new total. Now, add together the fixed expenses and the fluctuating expenses. Is this total less than the net income? If not, make adjustments to the fluctuating expenses until your budget is balanced. Ask yourself what needs to be changed in order to get the budget in balance. Can we earn more income? Can we cut an expense somewhere? If you need more income, perhaps consult with your tax preparer or human resources department at work. You may be able to adjust your W-4 in order to take home more money instead of counting on a huge tax return each spring. It's just an idea to help your monthly cash flow, but make sure you don't get into a situation of owing the IRS at tax time. Now, for the most important part of the budget, look at the areas of fluctuating expenses that you have budgeted. Stop using your credit card or debit card for these types of expenses, even if you pay them in full each month. Each category needs a labeled envelope of its own. Each month, or each paycheck, whatever works for you, withdraw cash from the bank, and put the budgeted amount into each envelope. Keep the envelopes in a safe place and only take out money when you are planning to spend. When the cash runs out, quit spending until the next paycheck or monthly draw. The money left in your bank will be drawn upon by check or other means to pay your fixed expenses, including your savings that you should transfer to a savings account, and also the tithe that you will give to the Lord. With the cash system, you may find that you have money left at the end of the month in some of the categories. That is, if you are a careful shopper. As that money accumulates, you can decide as a family how to use it. Maybe Christmas gifts, a vacation, or items for the house. Proverbs 3:9-10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine. Here are some discussion questions for you to consider. Jesus taught to store your treasures in heaven. Discuss and explain what this means to you. Discuss how you could reorganize your life to pay attention to the sacred rules and rhythms of life. If you feel you are already doing so, please explain how. What is it that causes you to get up in the morning and go to work? Discuss your calling and how you are responding to that call from God. What does it mean to live on less than you earn? Discuss your strategy for personal financial management. Do you agree that the Bible teaches that every Christian ought to be a regular and consistent tither to their local church? Please explain why or why not, supporting your answer from God's Word. Please answer these discussion questions in complete sentences on our website. When you submit your answers to OJM, you will get a copy of Larry's and Diane's answers in return via email. You may wish to keep a copy of your answers to compare yours with theirs as you continue discovering truth. If you are not sure how to answer each question, go ahead and take a stab at it. Once you start writing, you may surprise yourself. There are no right or wrong answers. We want to hear your thoughts. In addition, remember to write out the abiding principles on the website. If you complete these simple assignments, you will earn an upgraded certificate.
If you have enjoyed this session of A Journey of Faith, please remember that you may download this session as an ebook for no additional charge. Our ebooks offer bonus content, including acknowledgments, photos, and information about the author and contributing editor. We also would like to invite you to consider our Getting Fit program. The FIT in Getting Fit stands for our Facilitator in Training program that allows you to share what you have been discovering with others. It is truly fun, and we think you will find it rewarding. Find out more on our website at onlyjesusforme.com. Again, that is only Jesus, then the number 4, onlyjesusforme.com. Thank you for listening, and please know that our prayers are with you as you continue your journey of faith.